After speaking with somebody who has spent 3 decades working inside and alongside the education system, a few themes began to emerge. The system is not just underperforming, it's under pressure. Demand is rising faster than capacity can keep up. At the same time, the state is not stepping back. If anything, it's expanding its effort, but increasingly through partnerships and support structures that are supposed to sit alongside the system itself. We're also seeing a shift in how education is organized, a move towards specialized pathways rather than a single uniform model. And yet, despite ambitious targets and continued investment, the gap between what is planned and what is delivered remains a central concern. Which brings us to the present moment. Because if this is the system that has been built over time, then the real question is, how is it being carried forward now? Then let's bring into the conversation the office responsible for delivering the next 5 years, in Gauteng at least. Onwabile Lubelwana is the spokesperson of the newly appointed MEC for Basic Education in Gauteng, Mr. Lebogang Maile. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. We come to this conversation just as you've put out this 2025-2030 strategic plan. And always for me, when I read those documents, I think about myself and my mother, and I think, can people understand all of this deep and technical language that's in here? So how would you explain the core focus of this new strategic plan to a parent that's listening today?
The core focus, one, is to get the schools to tailor-make the education. It must create the employer, not the employee. It must be linked to the economic needs of the country. That is why we've got schools which are specialized. It's called where the kids are learning how to make or assemble an engine, how to build very important things, interest technical.
So in the next 12 months, what does that look like? What's the focus then for the next 12 months?
In the next 12 months, MEC Maile is focusing on building 10 schools, 10 new big schools that also includes the technical schools which are specialized, to ensure that the graduates or the matriculants of those schools have got technical skills that they're able to, even if for some reason the child is not going to university, they're still able to cope outside there.
Okay. I mean, building 10 new schools sounds wonderful on paper, right? But the first part of your document, when I started reading it, spoke a lot about constraints on the system. You know, it spoke about overcrowded classrooms. It spoke about understaffed environments. So 10 new schools, fantastic. But what about the current existing schools and the pressure on that infrastructure? What's the plan to address those immediate pressures?
So temporarily, even though it's not desired, there's a provision of mobile classes. It's not something we're proud of doing, but there's a pressure immediately to ensure that there's children who are learning and a teacher in class. But also there's a building of schools and refurbishing of the existing schools. But you've got to think of this in the context of the in-migration in Gauteng. Everybody wants to come to Gauteng for various reasons. And the government has not been able to build in line with the pace of the, we can say, the labor migration into Gauteng.
Hmm. So then, what's the plan? What are the trade-offs? What do you have to trade off, particularly talking about this pressure, talking about budgets, and talking about government constraints? What then are the trade-offs that the department has had to make to be able to ensure improved outcomes, if any?
One, the department is looking into a hybrid system.
What does that mean?
The hybrid system means Honorable can learn from home, does not need to be in class. But this is not very feasible You know, if you consider a child from Deep Slood, Alexander, Orange Farm, where they stay in a squatter camp, there's no connectivity. That's why the approach is to ensure that there's a broadband in communities, but also a training of more teachers and a building of more schools. And for Home Affairs to manage the borders better, those are the immediate interventions being made.
Mm-hmm.
But also to ensure that the quality is being improved, ensure that there's improved lesson plans and the teachers, they're able to get to the point as fast as possible to ensure that we're able to take more learners per day.
So, but some of the things that you're talking about, interdependencies, your department is not in charge of any of that. You're not in charge of what happens at border management. You're not in charge of the broadband that's available in the township, right? And yet you talk about the strong numeracy and literacy that is supposed to be the focus. So for the grade three learner, now that this plan is out, now that it has been disseminated, what will the result look like come 2027, beginning of 2027? What is the desired result that it should look like so that you know your plan is beginning to work?
So at least a grade four learner must read for meaning, increase the level of literacy in the sense that there needs to be improvement in terms of mathematics. There needs to be improvement in terms of the general reading, spelling, and numbers.
Mm. And for the parent that's listening today and says, my child is struggling, they're in the system, there's 60 of them in the class, the teacher is not there every day because of all sorts of things, right? We know this. This is what the system is working with. How does that parent know that these things are working for their child? What must they see?
So our approach, first of all, is that education is a social good. We need everyone to participate. This means the parent must be actively involved to ensure that after school they pay attention. But most importantly, umphakathi also must ensure that there's tutoring sessions. For example, I'm born in Alex, and those things exist. There is support umphakathini. And these are issues that we also, as you say correctly, that there's interdependencies. But there's forums that government has to address cross-cutting issues that don't depend with us. So we do engage every stakeholder. So education is a public good. That is the first and foremost message. It is not only the teacher and the principal and the MEC.
Mm.
Everyone should be involved for the safety of learners, how the environment is kept clean and broadly.
Look, I think most parents, we want our children to go to school. We want them to learn. I think, and we were raised like that too. This is what our parents told us, right? That get an education and it will get you into a better life situation, right? What do you, and as a spokesperson in your role, the job really is to communicate, not just the department's outcomes or plans, but also the work of the department. What do you think is the most misunderstood thing about this particular plan been put out?
I think there's also impatience. You know, the Gauteng government is trying to introduce e-learning. You're applying online. Some are saying it's not working, it's disastrous. But we can't undo that at a time where we're trying to instill tech learning. We're trying to live in an age that is industrial, you know, in the AI age. So everybody should understand that the messaging is about creating an adaptive system that moves with time.
Hmm. But And do you think that this impatience can be solved? Do you think the parents are wrong to be this impatient? It's been 30 years of this new dispensation. So for them, they are watching, and these numbers and these outcomes seem to be getting worse. Are they wrong to be impatient?
They're not wrong to be impatient. I'm a parent. I understand the frustration of that system, you know. But it's a new system. As you say, the ruling party has been in charge for 30 years. But now we're in a government of coalition. And there's rigorous improvements being made. But if you observe closely, the numbers have improved on enrollment. The number of schools have improved, even though the demographics in terms of population are increasing. There's also improvements in terms of the quality of the sector. From 2022, we have introduced the ECD sector, the early child learning. It's happening and seamlessly, even though most of it is still in private hands, but at least.
But so how can you say that there is an improvement over the last 20, 30 years? There is an improvement in the sector, and yet your own strategic document talks about a serious gap, particularly by that grade three when you look at TEMS, right? Says the outcomes have declined, that the young people who read for meaning, whose numeracy is up to standard with other comparable countries that are like South Africa, is we are stock last. So how do you reconcile those two things when you also as a department communicate to us that these benchmarks, these international benchmarks, our young people are not doing well, but you are also saying that the system has improved?
So let's look into the conclusive output.
Mm.
The conclusive output is that the number of bachelor passes has increased. The number of students who complete matric has increased. And if you look closely, those are students from poor backgrounds in these schools with many problems.
Mm.
But if you also check, the number of learners who are in private schools has reduced, meaning also the economy is shrinking. More people are opting to take their kids to public schools. They get to trust the system. And if you check the trends in graduation, the bulk of them is black graduates from poor communities where this government has been working.
They should be. The numbers sit like that. You know, there are more black people than there are white people. There should be more black people eligible for bachelor.
But consider the type of problems and gaps in a system which was never meant for them. Look at the work done. Even though there are problems, if you check this government, it can be argued that it is a victim of its own successes. Even though it has increased the number of students who go to university, there's a bulk of them who are without jobs, there's a bulk of them who are without funding. But what is important is that you have passed that matric. Whilst the next one, because remember, it's not like in groups of 10s, for example, the whole group is not at varsity. 8 are at a varsity. 3 or 2 are not. And these are stats which exist now.
So you talk about schools of specialization and you talk about an economy that is not absorbing young people fast enough. What role do you think government should be playing in ensuring that there are these high-skill wage type of jobs available for school leavers? And what is the role of the school in that system?
So the first thing is to make the South African learner and the parent to understand that the university should not be seen as a cast in stone. And if you fail to go to university, you, or of the TVET sector is secondary. Some of the most developed and advanced economies, it's because of they've taken what we call the FET sector here very seriously. For example, in Germany, some of the biggest companies that run the economy, it is because of graduates who are from a similar system like ours, a TVET sector. So let's promote that a person must go and learn how to be a woodwork, carpentry, must learn how to build, a car, how to, you know, these technical and industrial skills, it's what builds an economy. It's not learning communication, learning, even though it's important, it's not learning psychology. So we need skills that are technical, are going to uplift the economy and make jobs.
You say let's learn that this is also a path. Do you think that you are doing enough to fill that gap for parents and students to understand that? Or what could be done differently?
Okay, so the MEC Maile takes that part very seriously, which is why we are bridging the gap between basic education and higher education to ensure that the learners go to university at least with some work-like knowledge, you know. You don't graduate empty. You don't come back from varsity and there's got to be a fresh start to ensure that you qualify to do a job.
Hmm. And in your view, you talk about a changing world and this world of AI, these technical skills and this world that is a very sophisticated software-based environment. Do you think that the department is agile and changing fast enough to ensure that young people today coming out of your system are ready for that world of work?
Agile, yes, but not fast enough. It is quite responsive. But as I'm saying to you, we don't have the sufficient human capital and resources otherwise to ensure that all the ideas we have on our strategy are implemented at the right time and by the right person. So there's problems there and there, but if you observe the output, they are achieving towards 98%, 200%.
Of what?
Of the provided output. If for example, my job is to ensure that the learning and teaching outcome, X number of distinction are reached, they're overachieving on that. If you check the only part we've got problems is the infrastructure. There's backlogs. If this government can fix infrastructure, ensure that a school is delivered on time, within cost, we'll be able to address most of these issues.
The one thing that I don't see anywhere in your strategic plan, and we haven't spoken about it, is around the number of young people who drop out of the system.
Yes.
There's no mention as to the interventions that need to come into play to ensure that more young people who start the school career finish their school career, or even where along the line they are lost. What is the department doing with regard to that?
So one, the department is reinforcing in terms of after-school support and just zoomed in focus on which learners are repeating classes, one. Two, to ensure that there's the post-matric. Some people, it's not that they are dropouts, they don't do well. The system to ensure that there's a matric rewrite second chance program where if you have not done well, the system is still able to make interventions. But there's a study which shows that most of the students who are dropping out are students from poor backgrounds. They drop out to pursue entrepreneurship. And And some of these cases, very few are successful. But there's now new programs in school to ensure that they promote entrepreneurship, that even if you so happen, even though it is not desired that you must leave the school, if you so happen, you've got some skills to start a business. And the interventions may not be very effective because of we have a system designed to reward the learner who's passing. That is why the model also looks into creating schools which are more technical.
So for a person that's listening at home, this plan is a 5-year plan, 2025 to 2030. That's not a lot of time. So for a parent or a young person who is in the system listening at home, what is the one change that they can realistically expect to see in this year, the year of 2026? What is realistically, what can be achieved?
Yes, in this financial year, there is an increase in terms of learner support, both at functional phase and high schools, you know. Also, there's a zoom in into school safety. There's a zoom in into the mental health of students.
So tell me concretely with an example, what does that look like in the day-to-day life of a young person in the school system in Gauteng today?
One, it includes an increase in the number of psycho support. It includes flooding schools with arts, sports, and other activities which support the environment. It also includes other programs, and these include various learning skills and formations, being able to learn from your house, and other supporting materials.
So what does that look like if, on the one hand, you are saying the system is under pressure, it's constrained, we don't have enough teachers, there are many kids in the class. Who then is delivering all of these additional sports, arts, who's doing that? If the teacher's already under pressure, who is delivering the, as you are learning at home, support? Who's doing that?
So in terms of sport, there's an introduction of teachers who are specialized in sport. We're going to be technical people helping in that respect.
So more teachers in the system?
Yes.
Okay.
That's going to happen. Also, the online support has been happening, but will just increase the reach of that. MEC wants to ensure that schools have got cameras, have got safety. These are funds that are already existing. We'll just use them better.
Wow, use them better. That always sounds like a double-edged sword, right?
These
funds are existing. Mm-hmm. And every year we hear about the money that is sent back to Treasury. Mm-hmm. Even as we talk about a constrained system, even as we talk about backlogs, but at the end of the financial year, money is sent back to Treasury because it hasn't been properly spent. So how are you going to ensure that the alignment around?
If you check the record of this MEC, it's not an MEC who takes money back. Slightly overspends, but service delivery matters. There's always proper spending with the clean audit.
So this is a new department for him. How is he plugging into this new department, and what is his plan of ensuring that he's not saddled with some of the constraints that past MECs have had?
So MEC Maile is not new in the sector. He has worked in the sector as an employee.
In this department, yes. Now as MEC.
Yes, he has worked in this department.
As the MEC?
As an employee.
Not MEC.
He has been a president. I'm making a point that the MEC understands the sector very well.
Okay.
And is an MEC who really believes in consulting and getting things done at the right time. If you observe, we only have about, I think now, the third week. And since we've arrived, we've been meeting stakeholders, checking with them what is feasible, What should be done as fast as possible? And this is not stuff we get via email or reports. MEC has been going to schools, has been meeting SGPs, has been meeting SMTs, absorbing all these issues so that you don't come across as a person who knows it all and you are prepared to accept input from everyone.
And so for a parent listening today, what, as the spokesperson for this MEC, what tangible flags should I be listening out for when you come and speak on TV and put out reports that says you are winning in this department? What are the three things?
You must check the number of schools with a successful sport that never had before or had, then it vanished for some reason. You must check the number of art centers, sports centers that are going to be able to support the sector. Also check the quality of the instructions in class. Check the output. Are the learners passing? Is the metric results improving? You should be able to see an improvement in terms of the focus on the maths, science, and ICT.
Last question. Do you think that this department has become really good at creating targets and benchmarks, and the gap of reaching those things then always falls in the constraint column?
Not really falling on the constraint column. You set a target, and obviously to reach that target, there could be various dependencies, there could be various problems which may, as you say, fall into constraints. But if you check holistically, it's a success story. It's not like a failed department or a failed government comprehensively. Let's talk to what is SA's middle class. Where is the bulk of that from?
Well, it's halved in the past 2 years. That's what SARS is telling us, that the middle class has halved in the past 2 years.
And these are problems of the shrinking of the global economy. And some of these are factors beyond the control of this
country. But why then would you bring them up as something to check if that's a problem?
I am just making a point to say, holistically, it's a working system that has got pockets of problems. And if we deal with those, if we deal with the influx of learners, if you deal with the backlog of infrastructure, build more schools, increase from the 10 per year to about 20 to 30 per year. And by the way, there's problems really in terms of the pace of government shrinking, becoming more smaller. And the number of things can achieve with it is becoming smaller also.
And yet, the plans that the department has put in front of us in the strategic plan has not shrunk. The ambitions are still quite high. And that's why I was asking about the trade-offs, because the ambitions remain. The ambitions...
Trade-offs means you may have to let go of some of, for example, you may have to choose sometimes that you are buying more stationery or building a toilet. You may choose to not give the students meat, but bring more books. Because remember, there's various support being given to the schools. So you may have to check in the budget which other items we can live without, which can't live without. And unfortunately, everything is important in the sector. It's a very difficult. If we're paid, we say parking.
Do you not know how to finish it?
I forgot that.
Your education is failing you right there.
No, I'm not paid. I'm multilingual, but yeah, it's habil.
No, I don't think anybody would ever be saddened by by the department doing well. I think all parents want to see their children succeed. And success doesn't just look like passing through every standard and getting to the end of the other side with a qualification that is taking, right? But what every parent does want to hear from your department, and I'm intrigued at the fact that, you know, some of the things that you mention as critical success factors live outside of your department. Influx control, terrible word to use, you know, coming from the history that we come from. Talking about structural, you know, can't get the schools up in time. And then you spoke also about the GNU. So I'm wondering to myself, the things that are within your control, in this department's control, which are your top three priorities? You can't do anything about the people coming into the system.
Within our control is to ensure that the curriculum, which is our core mandate, is delivered well, seamlessly. Within our control is to ensure that the learning environment is conducive. Obviously, we need safety to ensure that the safe schools are safe. We need e-gov to ensure that there's internet, there's broadband. See,
back to the constraints,
yes,
that are outside,
yes,
your control.
Back to the dependencies.
Yeah,
but
I want to know about the things that are in your control.
The core mandate of the department is curricula, which in our context, so the curriculum is going well. We're able to ensure that they complete on time, on quality.
We must just watch those numbers, those international benchmarks,
also,
as our young people can,
yes,
read.
Also observe the trend. South Africa has not been declining. It's been going up. It's not like we're...
From a very bad base, going up. If you have one, if you doubled, you only had two, right?
Yes.
So saying it has doubled,
yes,
doesn't mean that it is great.
It's a bad base.
We outspend everybody on the continent, and yet we outperform them. We outspend them, and yet they outperform us.
Not everyone.
So just because I'm, yes, in the company of bad people. And hence my question about the trade-offs, but also about what then, in the next 12 months, a parent should be able to see that you are delivering. Or rather, what is your confidence on being able to deliver?
We are confident that classes will be orderly. We are confident that most schools are being built as we speak, me and you, DID and others that are building schools. By the way, the MEC does not believe in this tender system. We're building schools through a public-private partnerships with bank guarantees, meaning you won't have a school stuck because of somebody bought a Porsche instead of completing a school. If you check some of the housing projects, those and Gautrain, those are proper public-private partnerships which have yielded results. It's a good model. So we can say at the end of these few years, a parent must check the number of schools built and how do they look and last. And check the quality of the curriculum. Check the orderliness of the schools.
Well, thank you. It'll be interesting to see, and I'd like to invite you back a year from now.
I think the minister will come himself.
To really talk about some of those, what you consider constraints that live outside of your department, but what those successes look like. Because the information is out there. Young people, a third of young people who start school in grade one do not get to matric. The matric pass rate may look great in terms of bachelor passes, but we're only looking at two-thirds of the people that started and not everybody that started, you know? So, and that is a problem. When you are looking at a country like ours, which is a young country, which is a country that should be on an upward trajectory, and what that means for the economy that we're trying to build.
So there's an unavoidable history-based account of this country that cannot be avoided, right? You have learners who go to school who leave no one in the household. And this is sometimes due to the parents working in some other province. Sometimes it's a child-led family. But also the social ills happening in our communities where the learners are captured by crime and many other things happening in this country. So this is part of the legacies of the apartheid. You've got social ills that are beyond our mandate as education. That's why MEC wants to synchronize that arts, sports and culture is used to maintain a conducive learning environment. And these are very complex problems. You've got learners, instead of continuing at grade 10, the child next door is working as a prostitute and they find that to be lucrative. And then you've got graduates who are unemployed. You've got thugs who are living lavishly. There's so many complex pressures from our social ills that deviate the youth in broad terms.
And I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But I do also think that, and unfortunately, that conversation is a much bigger conversation because you and I both come from townships and none of those constraints are new. None of those things are new having grown up in a township. What is new is that we are supposed to have a government that cares for us. We are supposed to have a government that has put at the center of what they are and what they are about, the people, all the people of this country. And 30 years down the line, to still use those constraints as some of the things that hamper education for young people, having not considered all of them. And that's why I say they were there. They are not new. They did not come.
30 years vis-a-vis over 100 years.
They did not come in the past 10 years or in the past 5 years. They have been there. Government is a complex system. A complex system that requires all the moving parts within government to be operating optimally. And we do not have that. We do not have every part of the system operating optimally. And that is why you see in education the backlash that it is, that it has. And so the conversation can be had and we can open it up. We can talk about the history. We can talk about today and we can talk about what futurescaping looks like. But we cannot run away from the fact that these are not new problems that have not found solutions yet. And we cannot use that as a reason why we have squandered the future of young people in this country.
Let's not conclude to say the future of the youth has been squandered. South Africa's youth is also being offered many opportunities, even beyond the classroom. We're the only country which considers that you may possibly have not done well. Go and do some technical education and systems be placed by NYDA, GEP, small business. It's not squandered. To squander.
45% unemployment rate of young people is squandering their future. 45%. In a country that is free,
yes,
and not a war zone.
It is
that not, has squandered.
The word squandered is quite a strong word.
I stand by it.
Let's say we have not functioned optimally to the expectations, but to say squandered, it means like we should be at, I blew it. Everything
we
is
are.
That. We are not yet. We are not at, I blew it. You are possibly a graduate. You're not blown. These firms here in Sandton have got a lot of black hardworking young people through NSFAS.
45% unemployment rate.
Yes, and it's what this government is working to fight to ensure that they're employed, which is why our schools are becoming specialized, to respond to exactly that. It is why there's entrepreneurship in the schools to deal with this issue directly. It is why also DED is able to assist young people with working spaces, factories and others, to ensure that we respond to that. Squandered means you are just sitting and doing nothing.
45% of young people today.
It's a bad number, I agree with you.
What are they doing? They are
I've just
sitting,
told you,
drinking, on drugs, in the township, squandered.
I've just told you.
you have not convinced me. You have told me, but you have not convinced me.
Oh, well, I hope
you have not convinced
I hope
me.
I convinced the viewers. Thank you very much.